Jesus says in our gospel this morning, "You have heard it said, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment." In this short passage, Christ is referring directly to the fifth commandment, at least how Lutherans number them, which is pretty straightforward. All it says is, "You shall not murder." No definition there, just, "You shall not murder." But as often is the case, especially in Jesus' time, when the people had a simple command, they either liked to make it more complex, or they liked to find and test the limits of that command's reach. For instance, you might say to your children, "You can go outside and play, but do not cross the street." And so 5 minutes later, as you're washing dishes and you look out your window and you see your kids standing in the center of the street, you go out and you tell them, you say, "Well, didn't I tell you not to play in the street?" And your kids look at you and said, "No, you said we can't cross the street. We were only in the middle." They test the limits of those commands. And so what was being taught about the fifth commandment, about "you shall not murder," was plain and simple. Do not murder. But many of the teachers simply left it at that. A man might not murder another man, but anger, cursing, bullying, those were okay. They didn't break the commandment. Because that's not murder, that's just playing in the middle of the street. But Jesus wasn't very satisfied with that. He expects more from men and women who would call themselves disciples. He expects more of those who would name themselves by his name, Christian. And so he tells them, "You have heard it said this, but I say to you," especially you who follow me, "that if you are angry with another, you will be liable to judgment. If you insult another, you're going to have to answer to the council. And if you curse one another, give a cursing, a bitter insult in such a way that you are expressing anger and abusing another person, you are liable to the hell of fire." For Jesus, playing in the middle of the street is the same as crossing the street. Now imagine for a moment you're looking out at your garden and you notice in the middle of your garden there is a plant there that you did certainly not plant, and you look at it and it clearly looks like a weed. And you kind of do some research on this plant and you look, and below its soil you see all sorts of roots going every which way. It looks like you would imagine cancer, a stage 4 cancer, traveling through the body. This plant's roots are just like that. You look closer and you see that its stem is thorny and it's bristly and it looks tough and kind of woody. It's menacing. The leaves have a sharp and pointy quality to them. They don't look kind at all. And when this plant gets fully grown, it has a flower that both looks wicked and attractive at the same time. Now imagine that instead of bombing this weed with Roundup or taking your spade to it and digging that thing out, you decide, well, it's there in the garden. I might as well try and eat some of it. So first, you take some of the root, you dig it out, and it just tastes awful. It tastes so bad. In fact, it makes you a little queasy. But for some reason, you kind of keep going back for more. You just can't stop. It's there, you might as well. In fact, on your next trip out, you go and, well, I'm going to try a little bit of the stem too. It's there, I might as well. I'll try some of that. And, well, the stem makes you even more nauseous. And in fact, the thorns start cutting your hands and piercing into your lips and things. But you're not deterred. No, you go and, well, maybe I'll try some of the leaves. And so you try some of the leaves, and these make you really sick. It causes your body to shake and convulse, so much so that you find it really difficult to grab the flower and finally eat that too. But the EMTs can't revive you anymore. The weed at this point has done you in entirely. Christ, in teaching on murder, tells us what the full intention of God's plan was for giving us that commandment. For Christ, all anger, all malice, all hate, whether done in thought, word, or deed, even in the smallest form, all come from the same poisonous plant. We might just be nibbling away at the root, but it does damage to us. We might take bigger bites from the stem or from the leaves. We might not ever get to that deadly flower, but we still eat from the same plant. Jesus goes on to explain it like this, that when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift and go and be reconciled to your brother or sister. In other words, if by our actions or our words we have done something against another person, however small that thing might be, it needs to be taken care of. We have no right to hope to come before the altar of God and bring our worship to Him, or even to receive from Him. Because even the smallest part of breaking that commandment, the smallest little nibble, begins to sever us in our relationship to the Lord, just as it severs us in our relationship to the person who was offended. Now, as we've seen the last few weeks in our Old Testament readings from Micah and Isaiah, how we treat another person matters when it comes to our relationship with the Lord. We cannot come before the Lord in true and full worship and giving and in receiving if we have not taken care of the relationships around us. Our relationship with God, according to Christ, according to our readings the last few weeks, is directly related to how we treat others around us. According to Christ, you can commit murder in your heart, and there is no essential difference between that and anger, bitter insults. Jesus says those things can lead you to the hell of fire. Jesus doesn't talk about hell very often. Here he does. They not only cause a rift between us and other humans, but between us and God. If that doesn't put some fear into you like it does to me, that's scary. But as we read through Scripture, we find very quickly that anger and hate are not just human emotions. We see that the Lord experiences those as well. Only with God they are fully and completely justified. There is righteousness in God's anger. See, the Lord expresses anger and hate and wrath over sin, over those things that we have done to disobey Him, to laugh in God's face, to go against His commands. All sin, not just anger, hate, or murder, experiences the wrath of God. But the good news, and here's your Valentine's portion of the message here, the good news is that God's anger over our sin really is born out of His love for you. In all those times, God is always still love. His anger for your sin is born out of His love for you, because it's His love for you that led Christ to the cross, which is where all the anger, all the hate, and all the wrath God has for sin was poured out upon His own Son, that you might be forgiven, and not only forgiven, but be made new. Because as a child of God, the Lord is always, always working in you. And the more we come and receive His word, receive His forgiveness, eat at His table, absorb what He has taught us in Scripture, the more God works in you to form you to be more who He would like. You might have an angry heart. You might have issues that are there, but the Lord continues to work in those who are His. Cultivating in you reconciliation so that you might grow in peace and in kindness and show the world that God is love just as God showed us that very thing. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for He who calls you is faithful. Let us pray. Oh, gracious Lord, we give you thanks for your word and how you have shown us what you have done for all those things that we bring against you. We thank you that in Christ all the wrath that is owed to us has been put on Him. Forgive us of our sin. Make us new people. Help us to love one another and to obey the fifth commandment and all commandments in each and every way. But every time we fail, Lord, bring us back to you, to the promises that you have for us, the forgiveness and the renewal that you have for us as well. We pray this in your name. Amen.